This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And I don't think it's as bad as it may seem right now for the Mets. Obviously, the sweep by the Braves was bad. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Phillies hurts, but they're a game back of the Phillies in the NL East right now. So I wouldn't make a big deal about that. And I think it's just a rough stretch for this team. But to me, because of the pieces that they have in place and because of the way that they played the majority of the year, I'm not overly concerned about this bad stretch. I do want to see them play better against Atlanta. It'll be a different story if they get, you know, don't play well in these next four games. But right now, I don't think it's as bad as it seems for the Mets.
I don't like what I see at all for the Mets. I really don't. And I think Mets fans should be worried. I think when you look at a losing streak, you could process it one of two ways. It's the cyclical nature of baseball, or it's a foreshadow of some greater issues. And right now, I think it's the latter. Because during the losing streak, everything's gone awry. Starting pitching's getting bombed, bullpen's imploding. I've always been fearful that they don't have enough length in the lineup. So that's nothing new for me. And that showed itself lately again. And I don't think they're a great defensive team. I think they're a tough team. I think they're very top heavy in terms of their offense. They got a couple stars, but I think it's also important. And maybe I'm stretching this out too much. Maybe. But I have to connect last year to this year. I think it's important to remember, the Mets didn't win 97 or 98 games here. They didn't bludgeon the National League. They didn't just destroy. They were a story and a franchise that generated momentum as the year went on. I think they had great chemistry. I think they learned how to play, you know, clutch baseball and certainly showed that they're moving in the right direction. But they were far from dominant. And I think now the flaws that I'm seeing, they need to be fixed or the Mets are in trouble.
See, I think they have to prove themselves. That's something I was saying over the course of the weekend. It was fun at Javits Center. We get more into that as we go on here throughout the course of the day. The way the Mets have played as of late would bring doubt, right? Naturally, because they have not proven themselves the way the Yankees have, Dodgers have, Braves have, meaning over the last, you know, 2-3 decades, whatever it is. They don't have that resume to look back on. So that part of it I get. But if you just look at this baseball team in its, you know, by itself, individually, forget about last year, forget about the history, it's not as bad as it seems. Think of it, like, it can't get much worse, right? Getting swept by the Braves, losing 2 out of 3 to the Phillies, and getting embarrassed along the way. Like, these games have been largely non-competitive for the Mets, even going back to the Rays series, the way that that thing fell apart. But they're a game back in the division, and they are going to get healthier in that rotation, and they do have big pieces in the lineup. So while I agree that I still need to see this team prove themselves starting tonight, like now they're in a series. Hey, the Atlanta Braves just lost 2 out of 3 to the Marlins. So it's not the big bad Braves coming to town. It's the Atlanta Braves coming to town who are far worse than the Mets are. They are still 10 games back. I mean, the Mets have lost 8 of 9. The Braves are 10 games back of them still in that division. So the Mets need to go out there and just settle things down and then get Manaea back and eventually get Senga back. I think they have all the pieces in place here. And you know that they're going to go out there and tweak this team, whether it be an outfielder, an infielder, a bullpen arm, a starting arm. I don't know what that's going to be, maybe multiple, but I trust in Cohen, I trust in Stearns, and I trust the stars that they have to deliver. So right now, it feels awful. They still do need to prove themselves, but I don't think it's as bad as it seems.
So The thing about that worries me about this is that it's really everything. Like, it's really everything. Now, again, I understand it's not encompassing a month. It's a week and a half, okay? Right. That's why when I started this, I said you could really process it. And the Yankees, I was still looking at it the same way, and we'll get to them more later. But a losing streak, okay, you play 162. You know, things don't always fire simultaneously. You could look bad, and you could at times look even broken. And you're not. It's a little misleading. I think because it's everything, because every element of the Mets right now seems to me less than championship worthy or championship caliber. They need a transformative trade here.
Well, see, that's where I disagree with you. I heard you talk about that on your show yesterday.
I said the same thing about the Yanks. If they don't make a trade, I don't think they have a chance to win the World Series. I just don't think they got enough, Sal.
You're talking about big trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, a Devers type. I mean, you got to go for it. Yeah. They're looking at this thing right now and forget. See, I don't even forget about the Braves. I agree with that. Yeah. But, I mean, the Phillies don't even have Bryce Harper right now. Right. Look at that lineup.
The Mets don't. Well, okay.
And look at their staff.
Before the trade stuff, I mean, they still have one of the best records in baseball. And everything's falling apart. So I don't think the other teams are that good to where the Mets need a big trade. I thought last year they might have needed more of that trade, or there were times. Now with Lindor and Soto in that lineup, or Alonso, I don't think they need a big trade. I just think they need to round out the team a little bit. If I were to ask you, of all the elements that have been failing here, what you believe in the least for this Mets team, what would it be?
I would say the bullpen. And I would feel better about that if the offense was longer, which is why I think they need that big stick. Like, if the offense was banging, and I know they do top three, top four, I get that, but once you get beyond a certain point, and this is nothing new, I've said this for a while, the offense is not going to carry this team to a championship.
Well,
it's just not.
So that's you a problem, because that's how they're built.
I agree. I remember you and I talking about this during the winter, hey, you know, all right, what they've done from a pitching perspective, it's impressive. Let's see, this is before the year, let's see if it translates again, and it did early, so you got to respect that, you got to believe that they're onto something. But the offense isn't so good where they can overcome too many spots that on defense I think are shaky in the bullpen. That I think there's just things that are beginning to blossom. I mean, that you're not getting length from the starters, which means the bullpen's taxed, which means there's more onus on the offense to put up 5, 6, 7 runs, and they're not doing it.
See, I don't need length from the starters. I need quality from the starters. The Mets' recipe was five solid, six solid innings. Keep the team in the game, offense do just enough, bullpen be fine, and that's how they're going to win games. Now, is that sustainable throughout the course of the season? Right now you're seeing a rut. I don't know. Is it sustainable in the postseason? I don't know. But they also aren't healthy. So I believe the biggest reason for them struggling all of a sudden is because the pitching, which was there, is not there any longer. That doesn't mean that the offense doesn't need to do its part, because the offense has not been anywhere near what it was supposed to be. All three of those guys, Lindor, Soto, Alonso, have not clicked together at the same time at all this year. But I believe that will happen. That's why I'm not as worried about the offense as you. Now, it's mid-June. We're reaching the end of June, 4th of July. Mm. Obviously, Soto's been red hot. You had Alonso where he's been red hot. Lindor's starting to pick it back up a little bit. Nimmo been okay. Maybe get Vientos back. Like, I'm not as worried about it, although we do need to see it happen. I'm not as worried about the offense. I'm more concerned with the pitching, which I also believe will be better once they get Manaea back and potentially Senga. And they have to add, you know, maybe they have to add an arm or two in the bullpen. I think every team probably could use an arm or two in the bullpen.
Yeah.
But I'm not that. That's why, like, this is bad. And if they get swept to Atlanta, I think it's more of a mentality. Maybe they don't have enough dogs in them. But I don't think this is as bad as the 8 of 9 has made it seem.
Listen, I got you. I just think that one of the good elements for the Mets is that there's no perfect team. That may be the Dodgers when they're right and they're healthy. They're as close as you're going to get to being perfect here. But the checklist to me is just too long to look at this team as a World Series team. It's not one thing. It's basically four components. Like, if you look at...
It seems that way now, at least.
Understood. Yeah. And it's amplified. Yeah, because that's why it's always worse during a losing streak. And that's why I say this, and I try to protect it, or try to project the context here, but, you know, I got to tell you what's in my heart and what I've seen. And, you know, the starting pitching, you know, and I've been a Peterson fan. You know that. I kept kind of giving him a pass. His first three innings he was dealing. He hung a couple sliders, whatever it happened.
Right, he'd be perfect every time.
No. Schwarber hits the hell out of lefties, which is an amazing stat. I don't know how he does it. But I'm not even worried about Peterson. But the starting pitching doesn't seem, for me, It's not elite. In spots, it's good, but it's not elite. Bullpen questions, defense questions, you know, six, seven, eight, nine questions. You just said, well, we'll get to Alvarez, but the catching situation, big question. Defense at first base, question. Don't love the second base situation. Don't love the third base situation. Don't love left field from a defensive perspective, and I don't love center field.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Like, that's too much for me, and it's not about the losing streak, but it's too many checkpoints where I'm like, man, that just doesn't look the way a World Series team should look.
Correct. And the only reason why I would counter it is say, I could say that I love Lindor, I love Soto, I love Alonso, meaning that they have those three big bats. So starting from there is a great spot because I do think they could fill in some other spots as needed before the July 31st trade deadline. The reason about the rotation, Manaea has not thrown a pitch for them yet, and also Senga, it's promising as far as his return, well, even if it's after the All-Star break. You're still, this team could look very different in a month from now when you have Manaea and Senga in that rotation and Peterson. Now, stuff happens, but maybe that could, if they get those guys back and they stay healthy, maybe they could give Clay Holmes a little bit more of a breather, and then he comes back to being the guy that he was. Maybe you start to get some length and help the bullpen out a little bit. Maybe they get a bullpen arm or two back that could help, or in, and that could help them a little bit. So, to me, it's not barren. They're building from a place of a solid foundation with those three stars. And in my mind, at least, not needing. They don't need to go out there and get a top pitcher if Manaea and Senga can
get
back healthy. Yeah, I want another bat, but I don't think it needs to be a top bat because they have the other three. Obviously, the bigger, the better. I just don't think it's a necessity at this point.
Well, the Holmes thing is interesting because with Manaea coming back and eventually Senga, you know, you can rest Holmes or you can, you know, manipulate as they've done before, six-man rotations, whatever. It just, there's, to me right now, Sal, if they were in a different spot in their development, you know, if, and I said this yesterday doing the show from the Javits Center, like, if Pete was in his mid-20s and Soto, who is in his mid-20s, and Lindor was a little younger, even though Lindor's still the stud, I'm not saying he's old.
He's looked bad defensively, by the way.
Yeah, he has a little sloppy. Yeah. A couple of balls I thought he could have gotten to. I know what you're talking about
there. Seven errors now on the year?
It's up there, so, yeah. Seven or eight. Anyway. I think Volpe's got more, but it's approaching nine, which is what Volpe has, who leads baseball. The point being, those guys, Pete might opt out. Pete might be gone. Again, Lindor's not a kid. You've got to maximize this window. This is not an elite team. This is a good team. This is a good team in a great league, the National League. They got to make a massive trade. They're not good enough right now.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jason is calling from Bergen Field, New Jersey. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Jay?
So, a couple things. First of all, AJ Minter going down, I feel like completely destroyed the bullpen. Right? You got a really effective lefty who's no longer there. They haven't been able to find that missing piece. That's A. B is, I can't state enough how much they miss Jesse Winker. You talk about lengthening the lineup. I feel like Winker really did a great job with helping that lineup. And you've missed him. Right? A guy gets on base on the left side, you don't have him now. Right? So hopefully he comes back. The last point that I wanted to make was you're talking about a swinging a big trade. I would love Jarren Duran in center field. I'm curious what you think about that.
I love
anyway,
him.
Thanks, guys.
You know, I don't know if I want – I would take him. It depends on what you have to give up. But will he ever have the year that he had a year ago? Who knows? There's also some, I don't want to say issues there when you're talking about somebody's, you know, mental state. But
anxiety, right? Yeah, there was, yeah, he had some things.
Yeah, I would just worry about being maybe fragile or sensitive. And then you throw in New York on top of it. Like, I know he's playing in Boston. He's gotten used to that. But I wouldn't be opposed to it. But the Mets have to do their homework on that one. Somebody brought this up, a caller brought this up over the weekend. And he was actually asking about Mike Trout to the Yankees. I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. The Yankees have too many outfielders anyway. What about Mike Trout for the Mets? He looked pretty good against the Yanks in that series.
I think he's got 13 home runs. You know, Mike Trout to me, yeah. I mean, to answer you directly, sure.
I mean, that would be a big, at least big name, big bat potential and fits a need in center
field. Yeah, there's no question. And I think a guy like that, and I don't know for sure, I can't prove this, but I would think somebody like Mike Trout would be galvanized jumping into a pennant race here. I mean, he's had a lot of seasons where he's been obviously banked up. And his numbers have just fallen in a ridiculous historical manner from where he was to where he is.
It's but 227, I think.
Yeah, he doesn't run the way he used to. It's not the outfielder he used to be. There's obviously a lot of minuses, but you throw him around a Soto, Lindor, Alonso, Queen's Energy, divisional race. I mean, yeah, I would have the conversation with the Angels, sure.
Well, think about this. Duran is one name. Cedric Mullins the other.
Yep.
And if I put Mike Trout in that, would all things considered, like Duran, young player, you're probably going to have to give up more to get him. He's got high potential. Mullins, you know,
I think Mullins better fit. Contract's up.
Yeah, he's just a middle of the pack, solid veteran bat.
6'7" hitter.
But Trout is the potential, home run upside. The potential. It could also be a total bust. He could fail. I would not go nuts about that. Winker does lengthen out the lineup, but think about what the caller said, right? Winker is a bat, professional bat, that lengthens out the lineup. Those guys should be easy to find on the trade deadline. That's why I'm okay with where the Mets are at. Finding a Soto, finding a Lindor, Alonso.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So that's near impossible. Finding a Jesse Winker, you should be able to find a guy or two like that if needed.
Yeah, no, for sure. But the problem to me is that there are a couple of other teams out there that are in the mix with the Mets. They already have their Jesse Winker type, if you will, but they also have more than the Mets do in totality. Like, they don't have the holes. And I'm not talking about Soto and Lindor and Pete, obviously. I'm talking about the other, like, those guys are givens, you know? You're right, they haven't clicked together yet, understood. But I don't, you know, the Phillies, and they were talking about this last night on the broadcast, you know Dombrowski's making a move. Mm-hmm. You know it. I mean, every single trade deadline, so not only will they bring either, it's going to be a bat, going to be an arm, whatever it is, but you got Bryce Harper coming back as well. So to me, this is the time to do it. And I think we're going to learn a lot about Stearns because, you know, the way he operated in Milwaukee was one way and very effective. And now he can do this, and he's been effective here as well. But now you got the checkbook behind. There is no way that if Stearns goes to Steve Cohen and says, boss, hey, we're knocking on the door. You know we got some issues. I can get this guy. It's going to cost a lot. Do I have the green light? There's no chance Cohen's saying
no. But let me ask you this. If the Mets got Rafael Devers, right, there's not going to be a bigger bat on the market than that.
No, biggest bat out there.
Okay, if they got Rafael Devers, you think that would change this losing streak the way that they've been playing?
I think it would make them so much more dangerous. Are you kidding me? Devers is the DH? Oh, my God.
Okay, do you think
you
it would
put him at third? Whatever you can do with him, sure.
What would it change last night? What's he get hit? Five home runs? Like, they've been getting bombarded here. So, to me, it's not... They're not losing because they don't have enough, in my mind. They're losing because what they had, as far as the starting pitching was concerned, has fallen apart for many different reasons. And the guys that they have that are good aren't doing nearly enough. So that's got to get rectified. Like, even if you went and made a big trade, if Lindor, Soto, and Alonso don't click together, if Vientos doesn't produce or Nimmo, you know, pick one of the guys. They don't need everybody. Alvarez, throw him in there. If those guys don't produce, in addition to those top three, if they don't get Manaea and Senga back pitching at a high level, like, they have no shot anyway. You can't just go. They can't BT. They can't go get a top starter, a top bullpen arm or two, and a big bat.
Like, no, that's a lot. How would you prioritize it right now? Like, because there's merit both ways. Like, you can say, all right, if the top three or four really click and gel together, maybe you don't need the bat. I would still say that you would, but I can see why others would say no. Or would it be the rotation? Well, if these guys click and gel, it could be a top five rotation with Manaea and Senga coming back. But what about the innings limits with home? Like, I feel like there's just...
Because of the Manaea...
Uncertainty.
Yeah, there is. But that's what happens throughout the course of
a
season.
But I want to address that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I know, but I don't think there is a way to address that. You have to get everything in order first, and it's like, okay, well, here's what we clearly need. Right now is not the proper time to be evaluating this team because it's a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a mess. Like, you look at the lineup, oh, my God, holes there. You look at the rotation, oh, my God, holes there. Look at the bullpen, oh, my God, holes there. But that's now. In a week, 2 weeks from now. Now, look, with all this being said, they better go out there and beat the Braves. Like, there's no excuses here. I don't care who's hurt, who's not. Go beat the Braves. It's a big, big, big four-game series to get their season back on track and just stabilize a month out of the deadline and then see what you have. Come trade deadline, if Manaea is pitching in place, you say, okay, do we need another arm or are we going to rely on Senga to come back? Do we need another bat? I would still prioritize a bat. I want one more, but I don't think it needs to be I'm not going to turn it away. If it's an all-star bat, a big impact bat, but that's what I would look to do because this team should be better offensively and they just have not been.
But I also don't want to wait from a Mets perspective a couple of weeks because I think the time to strike for the deal is now. Nobody saw that Devers deal coming. The Giants were proactive. Boom, you look up, they got Devers. And we'll see what he does for them, you know, big picture. But I just think the longer you wait, the more desperate other teams will be and the more active they will be. I'm looking to be proactive from a Mets perspective, not reactive. I think they've got a lot of holes that I didn't anticipate being this big, and I'm not waiting 2, 3, 4 days before the deadline to address them. I'm jumping in now.
A stacked call bank here, BT, which is something I did not enjoy over the course of the weekend out of Javits Center. So let's hear from some of the callers. Brad is calling from Mineola. What's up, Brad?
Hello, gentlemen. How's everybody doing on a Monday morning?
Good. I mean, it's Monday morning, but yeah.
It's hot as hell.
Yeah. Disgusting out.
It's sunny, it's hot as hell, it's beautiful, the birds are chirping, and the Mets suck. It sounds like June to me.
It's good morning. What's going on, buddy?
Now, listen, this is how I see it, right? At the end of the day, a team's not going to do great every month of the year. Last year, BT, if you remember, July, the Yankees absolutely were pooping themselves. Big time, right? Last July, right? So this is our month. This is our month where we don't have our pitching right now. Our pitching is not doing what it needs to do. And at the end of the day, I'm not worried yet. Again, Sal, you are right. When we get home tonight, we need to take care of business. And if we do not take care of business against the Braves and we let this continue to steamroll, then I'll start getting a little bit worried and upset about where the season is going. And my last point before you hang up on me, there's a guy by the name of Paul Skeens who is never going to sign with Pittsburgh at the end of the day. Do whatever you have to do to add him to our rotation.
Imagine the
excitement. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate the call. Thanks, imagine, man, the excitement if one of these two teams in New York can land Paul Skeens. I would think the Mets, like we talked about this last week, because it's a bigger need for the Mets. Yankees have an ace in Max Fried. They don't need one. The Mets would need Paul Skeens, but I don't think that's realistic at this point. Here's what I would say. I don't even think it's a bad month. It's been 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
9 bad games, because prior to the first game against the Rays, prior to Senga going down, it couldn't be any better for the New York Mets. It could not be any better. It was as good as it's ever been for the Mets prior to Senga going down and the game that they still won against the Nationals, sweeping them away. Rays come into Citi Field, they get swept. Or they sweep the Mets, and then the Mets go to Atlanta and get swept. It's really, though, been just 9 games, BT. And of those 9, the Mets were able to win the one in Philadelphia on Saturday night with Soto going nuts, everybody hitting the home runs. They should have won the Friday night against the Rays, and they didn't. They coughed
that
up the play home start.
Yeah.
And they should have won the Friday night against Atlanta. Oh, not Friday night. The Tuesday night against Atlanta with David Peterson.
Yep.
So, really, even with that, now I'm not making excuses. They lost those games. Really, it's not even as bad as the 8 of 9 if you actually break it down. But I agree that it will be a different story because then it's not just nine games if they don't play well against the Braves, these four at home.
Well, a couple things. All right, so if it's not as bad, and it might not be. I mean, I obviously there's different interpretations. My interpretation is that I just see too many holes, which I think are going to lead to bigger issues down the road. So I'm less wrapped up in 8 of 9 and more, hey, preemptively fix this thing. That's just what I'm saying. So I would then counter, was it ever truly as good as it looked right before the losing streak? Because you played the Rockies. Now, you got to beat them. The Braves played the Marlins, dropped 2 out of 3 this week, and I get that. And the Nationals, in succession, you beat up on a couple of bad teams, which good teams do.
Well, how'd they look against the Dodgers?
Split that series 2 out of 4.
Well, yeah. No. And then they beat them here.
That's true.
They beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 here, split it there, and it should have been more there. It wasn't, but whatever. I don't think it's about the good teams. I will agree that the Mets were playing over their heads as far as the way that they were winning. There was no way that their pitching staff was going to sustain what they did.
Yeah, no way.
With the offense not helping out.
Yes.
There was just no way. So the good part of that was like, okay, well, wow, the Mets, what they're doing is not sustainable. But I think we all expected the lineup to be better, whether it was Soto, who's now, of course, gone nuts, but the Mets aren't following up anywhere else. You know, Vientos kicking in again, whatever it may be, Alvarez, whoever, pick a guy. This is where now, okay, the pitching's come back down to earth. The offense has needed to carry them, and that has not been there. So I agree that maybe the way they were doing it was kind of smoke and mirrors-y.
Yep.
But that's the bigger issue. I don't think it was that they were playing way over their heads. It's just how they were doing it wasn't sustainable.
Well, like I said, different interpretations. But the other thing that Les Calder said, you know, about, and I know you place emphasis on these next four games against the Braves. Yeah. I get it. There's symbolism there for sure. But just to be clear, to me, it's not about even stabilizing their season. Like, there's certain situations where a good team in town hits a rough patch. We're like, all right, guys, we know you're good. Figure this out. What are you doing? Figure this thing out, and let's get clicking again like you were. That's not what I'm saying. I think they need to add to the talent base. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to see them lose three. Even if they win 3 of 4, which they could, I still think they've got things they got to fill in. Either way.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it would be minor stuff. But that's something I wouldn't be worried about. Me, personally, wouldn't be worried about now. And I'm also not grading this team on a World Series curve at the moment.
Obviously, I am.
That's going to be
the goal. I totally am.
Well, can I see some sustained winning first? Can they win a division in 10 years.
I understand. But, you know, what's the payroll? 315, 320? Yeah. When you dump that kind of money into it, when you almost get to the World Series a year ago, then you get Juan Soto. It's only about the World Series. Come on, Sal.
Right, but not in June. You can't win the World Series
always,
in June.
The energy increases.
Before you get to that point, like, they have levels to go before it's just focused on the World Series. The Yankees, I think, is different because the Yankees, A, were in the World Series last year. B, the Yankees regularly are in the postseason. So there's no levels. Like, the only level the Yankees have to go is World Series. They've checked the boxes every year almost on every other level. So the Mets haven't even gotten to they haven't even made the postseason in back-to-back years yet with this new iteration of the team.
But what I'm saying is if they don't make moves, they won't get to the World Series. I'm not saying that you don't evaluate the season, and even if you want to have not a different standard, but a different interpretation of the regular season for the Yankees and the Mets.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
But even, and we'll get to the Yankees in a little bit, but even pertaining to the Yankees, to me, they're not good enough to get to the World Series. To win, to get there, they're not winning the World Series with this team. They need a trade as well.
Right, but you know that these teams are going to make moves.
It can't be Ruff, and it can't be Vogelback. And I'll tell you what, it's got to be more than Winker. It's got to, and it can't be Gallo. It can't be both teams. And I'll save the Yankee stuff for later, but the Mets need a bold move.
Brian is calling from Rochester. What's up, Brian?
Hey, morning, gentlemen. Happy hot Monday morning.
Yes, listen, you too, buddy.
Thanks. I am totally in agreement with you, BT. Sorry, Sal, but as a Mets fan, I've seen this story way too many times, you know, with this team. I mean, the losing streak is one thing, but I want you to remember, Sal, what is the Mets, where are they with batting with runners in scoring position? They're at the bottom.
If you believe that's not going to change, then you don't think the Mets are good. See, do you think the Mets are good, Brian, or no?
I think in some areas they're good.
I didn't ask you some areas. Do you think they're good? Like, do you think they're going to be a playoff team?
I think they're a wild card team.
Okay, but even so, now that would not be good enough to me. But even so, then this 8 of 9 stretch, we're kind of making a bigger deal. I think the bigger concern, and thank you for the call, is that the Mets have not built up that equity to where there is a trust that it is just a bad stretch. You could pick apart each series. It's 9 games. Okay, they got swept by the Rays. It happens. The Braves shouldn't have happened, but it did. And then they lose 2 out of 3 to the Phillies. You tip your cap. You took 3 from the Phillies here. Good thing you didn't get swept. But either way, it's not just about the Phillies or the Rays series. For me, the focal point is on the Braves because it was more than just bad baseball. That was, to me, getting dominated by a team that has your number. And that cannot continue here. But I think the Mets are a good team. I think they're going to be a playoff team. If they aren't, then that's a whole different story. But I think the doubt, BT, that will start to creep in from fans, which is already creeping in, will be even louder if they lost, say, 3 or 4, or God forbid, got swept by the Braves at home.
Oh, it's going to be ratcheted up. There's no doubt about that. But again, even if they win 3 or 4, for me, it doesn't solve what I perceive to be things that they got to address. Now, I think what's, and really address them, not just a little tweak, more of a big, bold move, as I said, you know, which one of these, and this is, maybe we could do this more coming up tied into the Alvarez stuff, but I also don't have a ton of faith. I don't mean big picture that they're not going to work out down the road, but I don't know what Mauricio is going to contribute this season. I'm not seeing a ton from Acuna. I'm not seeing a ton from Beatty. Alvarez is in AAA. Who knows where Vientos is this year? Like, where's the reinforcements? I don't trust that enough, which is why I'm making that big bull trade.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Tyler is calling from Tom's River. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I went to the game last night. I traveled all the way to Philly, left before the Lindor home run, didn't talk to my girlfriend on the way home. So listen, BT, I agree with you, man. It is time to move on from these prospects because I can't stand waiting years for them to pan out. Ready? You got rid of Kelenic. We were all upset about that. That turned out to be great. Get rid of PCA. He's having an MVP season for the Cubs. It's just what happens with prospects. You never know, but Lindor's not getting any younger. Like, you guys aren't getting younger, ready? Alvarez is a bust. Like, point blank, that's a bust. Injuries haven't helped. It's time to figure it out or move on, right? Like, get a player that you can put in the lineup and that plays can hit you what, 250, maybe 15, 20 home runs? Like, the bottom of our lineup's horrible. What does Acuna do, right? He's nothing like his brother. Might as well just go get Guillorme back,
well,
right?
Tyler, I mean, hold on one sec. But Tyler, just to be clear, I'm not saying to get rid of all these prospects. Like, I'm not going to put them in the baseball graveyard. What I'm saying is I can't trust them enough now, which means I've got to do something proactive and get somebody who I know is already good.
If you can't trust them now,
Tyler,
what are we doing?
What you're saying makes no sense whatsoever, dude. I got to be honest with you. You're not making any sense.
Is it not?
Because you just want to trade all the prospects for what? Exactly.
No. Listen. We got prospects that are younger that are coming up, but what are we doing holding on to these guys, clogging up the bottom of the lineup?
They're not holding on to them. Mauricio's been here for 5 minutes, and he's here because guys are hurt. Number one, like, you haven't seen Mauricio for years. He's been here for 2 seconds. And I'm not saying he's going to be good or not. I really don't care. Like, I'm not a prospect hugger.
You said that last night on the broadcast, prospect hugger.
You have to pay attention to what's going on in front of you. They just sent Alvarez down. What makes you think they're sitting here hoping that these guys are good? They're being proactive. Alvarez isn't getting the job done. They deem him to be a bust right now. You send him down to get him right. You hope that he could come back up and be something that he was supposed to be. Good God. Vientos last year was when I was saying, oh, Vientos no good. Oh, you're an idiot. Vientos no good. Now it's like, oh, Vientos stinks. Get him out of here. You got to wait and see what he does. And by the way, the bigger issue, and I'm fine, BT, if they do decide to trade Beatty or Mauricio or Alvarez or Vientos, whatever. Uh-huh. It's got to be the right move, obviously.
Yep, sure.
But I'm fine with that. But what I like about it is that the Mets aren't going to rely heavily on these guys. They may be in a spot now where it seems they have to because the other guys aren't doing their part or because other guys are injured, but they're not going to. If they're not getting the job done, Stearns has proven himself. They're going to send him down. They're going to move on. They're going to go find somebody.
But I still think that there's not enough options, even with Winker, who will certainly stabilize some things. I like Winker. He's a good pro, good lefty stick. I like good energy, whatever. I do like him. But I still think that too many of these players are going to have influence on the season. Like, think about this out. It's Mauricio, it's Beatty, it's Acuna, it's Vientos when he's back, it's Alvarez when he's back. Those are five guys. It's not a 40-man roster. You're trying out 25 guys. You need to know that if you have three positions of need, which I believe that they do, you need to definitively shore up one.
Right.
I can't keep guessing.
But they're not.
I'm not saying to get rid of them all.
No,
I'm not going to say.
But they're
all
not
these
all
guys
be on the team at the same time.
And I'm not even saying that they will never flourish. What I'm saying is I can't run the risk of waiting to see if they can develop this year in a way that's going to help me win a World Series. I'm not saying I'm trading them all. I'm not saying that they're all bust. I'm definitely not saying that. And I love that they sent Alvarez down. We'll get to that coming up. But what they got to do is make sure they get somebody who's got a little resume who you know is a major league hitter.
Think about it this way. Lindor, Nimmo, Soto, Alonso, are you okay with McNeil as being a consistent in the lineup or no?
Where's he batting? I mean, if he's batting seventh or eighth, yeah. If he's batting fifth or sixth, no.
Are you okay with the combination of Winker, Marte at DH?
I don't love it, no.
I mean,
I don't love it, Sal.
But what you want? So, like, what do you want? All stars at every position?
First of all, how many all stars are on the team now? Well, you got a couple, but I mean,
probably three.
Forget about probably
three all stars in a lineup is.
I got you, but I'm not gonna listen.
Well, my point
Soto's gonna get in there. That's fine. They're gonna have three. I got you, but I can't have such a disparity from three all stars with this massive drop to the other six guys who hit every night.
But that's why
the
I'm asking
Dodgers
you.
Don't have that.
That's why I'm asking. Okay.
Phillies don't have that. Braves now. The Braves might be 50,000 games back. There is not the drop from the top three or four hitters for the Braves to the bottom three or four. Right. There's just not that drop.
Right, but how they do in the postseason year?
I understand
and
that,
how the Mets
but I don't
so
want
like,
to.
You don't need a loaded lineup. You need productive.
I know you don't need
like,
loaded.
Like, I like Acuna. Acuna, to me, can be productive. Now
he could be, but I can't run the risk of Alonso's prime and Lindor saying that it could be.
Right, but so you want. But if Marte,
I need one more stud.
I was gonna go over the lineup. If you're not okay with Winker, Marte at DH,
I don't love it. I don't love it, Sal.
Okay, so who do you want at DH? And then what? So you, because you're not going to love the catching spot. So you don't love catcher.
I don't love second.
You're not okay with McNeil. You're not okay with Winker or Marte at the eighth.
I don't love
third base, and you don't love center field. Like so,
but you're making it seem like these are irrational claims. I think most people view those positions as weak.
You had an issue with Siri batting ninth.
He's a 175 hitter.
He's hitting ninth.
I understand that, but how many nine hitters are hitting 175?
I don't know, but that's what I'm.
But a 35% strikeout rate. He strikes out all the time.
But you're missing the point. Is that
I don't think so.
Siri was brought here to be a Gold Glove defender who's going to be an irrelevant bat that can still hit 20 home runs. Like, if you don't like that, then you want, okay, well, yeah, it's great, the Gold Glove, yeah, the 20 home runs, but I want somebody to hit 240. Yeah, well, those guys, then you're going to have an all-star at every position. Like, that doesn't happen. You're not okay with McNeil. The guy won a bat. Now, I don't even like Jeff McNeil. I don't even like Jeff McNeil.
Yeah, batting title's getting a little dusty these days. I mean, you're going to have to dust that thing off. I mean,
you can't tell he's not been a productive offensive player and say he's hitting seventh at second base or could play a little third or maybe use him in the outfield. Like, I would be fine with him hitting eighth. It's what the other guys do. They could use one more legit bat, whether that be at catcher, whether it be at third base, center field, or DH. But if you get one legit bat, then I'm fine with Winker and Marte at DH. Like, you can't have everything.
Here's the thing, though, because the Siri thing is an interesting statement. And we go back, and when they got him, I'm like, that's not a bad move. He can run, he's a hell of a fielder, and he's got power. But I also thought that Alvarez would hit 20-something home runs. I thought Vientos would follow up last year with a good year.
Well, so did they.
I even thought Soto, and he might get there, but I thought Soto would hit, 295, 300. You know, I'm not as huge a Nimmo fan as some. So away with somebody like Siri batting ninth if there's more production around Siri.
Correct, which is what they need. Okay, guys are hurt. Winker was their starting DH. He's been out. Now, whether you like him or not, fair enough, but as a 6 or 7 hitter potentially, Vientos. If Vientos comes back and does what he's supposed to do, or even close to that, now all of a sudden Lindor, Nimmo, Soto, Alonso, Vientos, that's 5 right there without Winker-Marte combination, without McNeil. Like, I just... If they add one bat, I think they're fine. I don't think you need great production from 7, 8, 9. It's just not realistic.
No, you don't need that, but I know we got a break here. But the thing is, I heard a lot of ifs as you were running down that situation, which I understand. If Vientos, if this, if that. You laid it out well.
Well, Vientos is an if, but if he's not what he is, then they're going to be in trouble. Like, I don't know what more.
I know, but that's why I'm trying to mitigate risk here. And I'm trying to get somebody here now I'll throw the ifs.
Yeah.
If the bullpen doesn't get better, if Manaea is not the same as a year ago, or if Holmes really hits the wall, or if Senga's out for a long, there's a lot of ifs. I can't have that many ifs if I'm trying to win a World Series. And with that payroll and with that top star talent, that should be the only mission. They have to make a big trade.
My only issue with the Yanks is their lineup. Like, there's a couple of things actually, talking points from the weekend, BT. Whether it's Volpe getting a scheduled day off after he fought. Like, what is Boone doing? Come on, dude, with these scheduled off days. I understand you want to give guys an off day.
Yeah.
Typical fashion, you schedule an off day. Volpe has a big offensive day on Saturday, and then he sticks to the schedule. That's just stupid. I'm sorry. That's stupid. You're trying to get the guy going or not? And then the lineups drive me up a wall where it's all matchup based. I don't care if you want to do that with the leadoff hitter because you don't have a clear-cut leadoff hitter. I don't care if you want to do it 5 through 9. It should be Bellinger, Judge, Stanton more often than not. Like, at least have some fraction of the lineup that is consistent. Bellinger 2, Judge 3, Stanton 4, everything else you can play with. Good God, they can't have a consistent lineup 2 days in a row.
Been like this for a while. Now, yesterday, Rice got a chance to go into 3 spot. Couple of hits, obviously looked pretty good there. Jazz, who worries me. I mean, I like his talents, but I'm still not sold on Jazz. I like to be. He's actually played well. He's sitting, I think, 370 since he came back in 17 games. But, no, listen, there's a lot of issues with the Yankees for sure. You know, and you start, as we said last week, they're in a losing streak. You don't have a leadoff hitter. You kind of, hoping that Stanton can stabilize the 4 spot and be right and be healthy. There's issues with the Yanks, though. Well,
wouldn't you just like to say, I'm not even getting into the issues, which, by the way.
But there are, though.
Yeah, well, I know. Getting guys on again and not being able to get anybody in with nobody out, 2 guys. Like, it's just ridiculous with the Yanks. But we know they're going to be in the postseason, and we'll see how they figure it out. We'll see what moves that they make. I just, the analytical-driven stuff from them is, it's too much for me. I'm sorry. How do you have a scheduled off day? The guy right in front of you then goes out there and finally has a good day, and now you're going to say, well, sorry, Ant, We had a scheduled off day. Instead of maybe building his confidence and having him get back out there a second day in a row, or having Judge and Bellinger, or Bellinger, Judge, and Stanton just consistently 2-3-4. Mess around that. Those are your best hitters, right? Have them go 2-3-4 in that lineup consistently. Maybe he even told us flat out, Boone did on opening day, Judge prefers hitting third. Mm-hmm. He said that, so just pencil him in third. Well, I don't understand
The two things from over the weekend, he just did on the one store with Volpe, and when I heard that, I'm like, come on, how do you not reverse course and put him out there? So I'm not going to disagree on that. The other was Clark Schmidt. Mm. And, you know, obviously had six outs to go before he pitched a no-hitter, 103 pitches. He's had some injury issues. He's on a nice run right now. I just don't understand the reaction from some people. Even if you are so against analytics or predeterminations, whatever it might be, like, that would have been reckless. And I don't even know where you stand on this, but to run him out there to flirt with history for, like, some of the mindsets are nuts.
The idea of blaming Aaron Boone for that is just it's ridiculous. It's
no,
so
no
ass.
That's the right move.
It's so ass on. It's not even worth entertaining that aspect of it. What I will say, the fans get robbed because and Clark Schmidt himself, but like that's just the way that the sport is now. But we should not be penalized from enjoying a special moment because of the pitch count. Like, logically speaking, there's no way. I was on live as this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying that he's probably not even going to come out for the eighth. Forget about the no-hitter. He's over 100 pitches already after seven.
Yeah.
They're not bringing him out for the eighth. And then he didn't come out for the eighth. So if it's predictable. It should be expected. It shouldn't be acceptable from a fan standpoint, but it doesn't mean that it's the manager's fault. You can't throw a young pitcher out there and have him just go balls to the wall for a no-hitter in June. It makes logical, pragmatical sense. But we as fans are paying the price for that, no?
We are. To an extent.
You don't want the moment of a no-hitter?
I do. I mean, listen, when I remember watching Rigetti's in Long Island in 83 when he struck out Wade Boggs. I don't know if that was a slide or whatever it was. It was nasty. Boggs missed it by a mile, which was rare. Of course, indelible moment. Obviously, Coney, Wells, and
Jim Abbott.
Dwight Gooden, Jim Abbott, ground ball to shortstop, Velarde over to Donnie. Yeah, there's no doubt. But to me, I think what's happening is like the younger generation is being desensitized to this because let's fast forward 20 years, right? Whether it's your daughter or my son or daughter, you know, if they're sitting around talking sports, they will be so programmed that pitchers, like the way they grew up, nobody went 125, 130. So they wouldn't even have the reaction like, wow, how did you pull this guy after 103, after seven? Because that's all they know.
The only way to fix it. And now this would create a different problem. And forget the past stats, but the enjoyment of having starting pitchers complete what they, or finish what they started, or go for complete games, or have no hitters, would be to shorten the game. Because there's no way, there literally is no other way to do it. There's no way you're going to see as many no hitters or perfect games, even attempts, when you have pitchers that cannot throw more than 100 pitches.
For sure.
Because either A, they can't do it, or B, they won't be allowed to do it. So we're robbed from that moment. So to bring that moment back in, you'd have to just make the game seven innings. And then from there, you could have more no hitters.
Yeah, but you know what would happen then. Then everybody would say, well, it's not real. You know, this guy, 1949, this guy did this.
I know,
Bob Fella. I mean, you know what I mean? Let me ask you this. So I think that there are some inherent issues with baseball. I think we all agree with that. Length of the season is one. So if I said to you, all right, Sal, Commissioner Sal.
Yeah.
Boy, that would be an interesting sport if Sal was in charge of the MLB.
I'll tell you what I wouldn't do. Hire Peter Schwartz. No, I'm just kidding. Just messing around, Peter. Just messing around. You just walked in. He was sitting right there. He was on a T-4.
Well, the look that Schwartz you just gave you. He's actually legitimately pissed at you right now.
All right, go ahead, BT.
So there's legal counsel he can't talk about legal matters here, as he told Boomer and Geo 30 times today. Anyway, if I said, Sal, you can go from 162 to 150 or 140, whatever number you think, or condense games from 9 to 7 innings. What's more appealing?
Yeah, I'd condense the amount of games, obviously, but because I love a 9-inning game, but I also love the idea of chasing something special.
Yeah.
And so I miss that. I hate that I can't complain about it. Like, and there are people who have complained about it, but I think it's just idiotic. Like, yeah. You're going to get on Aaron Boone for taking Clark Schmidt out after throwing 106 pitches.
If anybody, get on the state of baseball.
Well, that's my point.
That's a totally different target.
But I hate that I can't complain about it because... Yeah.
It's more fun.
Well, there's just...
It is. There's no resolution.
Logically, you understand it in today's world with these starters. But I don't like that we are... Like, Paul Skeens had this in his rookie year. Was it a year ago?
Whatever it was. He did.
Yeah, coming out of a game. Like, what are we doing here? You're robbing us from these special moments. So I hate it. But yeah, I would keep the nine-inning baseball games and just make them fewer games throughout the course of the year.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.